Get all your GAA essentials at Michael Murphy Sports, the go-to place for outdoor training gear and more at michaelmurphysports.ie.
A very good evening. Welcome along to another edition of The Score. Coming up on tonight's programme, Finn Harps manager Anthony Gorman will look ahead to Friday's games in the League of Ireland for Finn Harps and Derry City. The new Donegal League season starts this weekend. Chris Ashmore will have a preview with Oscar trainer-manager Eamon Sheridan and league chairman Tam McLaughlin. Why, we'll speak to Jason Quigley about the upcoming Rumble in the Hills professional boxing event next month in Letterkenny. But first of all, to athletics. I'm sure as you heard today, Mark English's hopes of making it to the World 800-metre final came to an end earlier this afternoon in Tokyo. The Fun Valley AC man finished third in his heat in a time of 1:45.47. And at that time at a wet Japan National Stadium wasn't good enough to make the decider. His Irish teammate Cian McPhillips did qualify in spectacular fashion as he followed up his win in the heat with victory in the second semi-final and set a new national record of 1:43.18 to beat the record that was held by English. So a disappointing day for Mark. Let's now speak to our athletics correspondent. Joining us on the programme is Patsy McGonigal. Patsy, how are you doing? Good evening.
Good evening, Oisin.
Listen, Patsy, it just didn't work out for Mark today. I suppose the opening lap, as we've seen, was slow. Mark had to kick, and he kicked with, about 152, 200 to go. But it wasn't to be. He was in the slow race, so there just wasn't enough in it for him to get through and make a first ever world final.
Well, I suppose the debate will centre around, you know, did he kick off too early? Because he was obviously strong enough, and that will be an opinion. And coming down that home straight, it's just a matter of trying to hang on, and he just wasn't able to hang on. And you know, maybe one feels that if he had, you know, it's easy to say it, obviously, but had he hung on that little bit longer, say another 20, 30, 40 metres, he would certainly have been strong enough to see himself through to the final. But didn't happen, Oisin, and he'll be really, really disappointed. You know, it was a big disappointment for him.
Yeah, because there was a lot of hope going into this, Patsy. Probably this was his best opportunity ever to get to a world final, to probably the biggest final in his career.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that goes without saying. And, you know, his form all season has been just, way brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. And if it was ever going to happen, it was going to happen this time. And he came so near. And that, you know, that's always a difficult position to be in as well, to come so, so close and not get into that final. That's going to be added disappointment, I suppose is the word. But look, he'll have to deal with it. He's had a great season, and it didn't happen for him today.
Yeah, and I suppose there was more disappointment to come when he lost his national record as well. And we have to give Cian McPhillips serious credit. He ran a powerful second semi-final to win it, take his place in the final, and smash the record as well, Patsy.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, McPhillips has always been a great athlete. You know, he's at UCD now, and he was a European junior 800-metre champion, and from Longford, of course. And, you know, but he picked the right day to, indeed the right week to come up trumps and produce. He's a big, strong lad, you know, and, you know, that does matter. And, but he's calm. He thinks it through well. And, it's going to be very interesting tomorrow, you know, very interesting tomorrow. But obviously one thing is clear. We have a new Irish star and, Cian McPhillips from Longford. And, you know, we're looking forward now to the final. And, you know, Mark, above all, we'll wish him well.
Pat, as always, many thanks for joining us this evening here on The Score programme.
Thank you, Oisin. Thank you.
So then, time now to move on to football and this week's League of Ireland segment. It's a double weekend for Finn Harps. They've got Bray away tomorrow night, Friday, and then a home tie against Wexford on Monday, while Derry City are taking on Shelburne at the Brandywell. To look ahead to those games, joining us this week is former Finn Harps manager Anthony Gorman. Anthony, how are you doing?
Good, Oisin, thanks. Good to be back. Good to talk to you again.
Well, listen, before we actually jump into the League of Ireland. Well, we Donegal League, the new season, of course. The leagues get up and running this weekend. Now, we will have a section later on coming up with Eamon Sheridan and Tam McLaughlin. But you, of course, are involved with Letterkenny Rovers. You're director of football. You're head coach. Letterkenny, no doubt, were the team of the season last year, winning the league, two cups, Brian McCormick and Ulster Cup. Well, the new season now set to get up and running league-wise, and one of the cup competitions already started. I suppose from a Letterkenny point of view, what's the targets now for this year? Because every year you want to improve. You always want to get better on what you did the year before. But what's Letterkenny's targets for this year, Anthony?
Well, it's one of them where, you know, you kick off every season and you want to go out and play to your best. And I suppose really and truly, the league, it's so competitive and so difficult. And I know people look at it from over the last couple of years and how well we've done as a team and as a club. But believe you me, like there's nothing easy. We've never had an easy game. Like, and I think I mentioned this last year that's a credit to the standard and to the integrity of the league, where you go out and every week's a difficult game. So I suppose from our point of view, and it's always been our mantle anyway, Ash, you know, we just take one game at a time, regardless of whether it's a league or whether it's the cup. And, you know, it's about the boys, and like, it's just one of them where we spoke to them during the week, during training, that you can accept, as long as they're giving you everything that they have, you can accept what, you know, what the result is. And I think that's a good way to look at things. And to be fair to the players that we have, you know, it's something that they have taken on board themselves, that no matter how things are going, as long as they're putting in effort and working hard, that's all we can ask for.
Would the FAA Junior Cup be in the thinking of Letterkenny Rovers this year? Obviously, Coghill Celtic won it in recent times.
Yeah, I mean, it's, and Fannin did a fantastic run last year to the quarterfinals. Ourselves, like the previous year, we played away to Clonmel and we got beat by two injury time goals, and which would have given us a home game against Coghill in the quarterfinal. And unfortunately, you know, it's all, I suppose we were looking at going into 91, 92 minutes that were, you know, we're into the quarterfinals, but unfortunately, two balls into the box, and we, you know, we don't react well. And Clonmel beat us, and you can't have any complaints. But like games like that, if you lose, like you lose, and the team that wins, like you have to hold your hands up and say that they deserved it. And last year, like we were really disappointed last year because we got a home tie to Merivale, and you know, on reflection, it'll be on, like, we were really disappointed, and we could say that we didn't play as well as what we could, which is true to a point. But when looking back on the game, you know, Merivale's goalkeeper was man of the match. He made some really important saves and he saved the penalty. And, you know, but on reflection, it was, we really should have been more clinical and should have really put them to bed early on, but you have to give them credit. You know, they stuck in, they were very professional and beat us. And, you know, again, as I said to you, when you lose games like that, you have to hold your hands up and say, you know, give credit to the opponent and move on.
Well, we're going to move on now and talk League of Ireland football. Harps, of course, away from home at the Carlisle Grounds on Friday evening, returning to the league after the cup defeat to Cork. Listen, they're looking to continue their good form in the league, Anthony, but the Carlisle Grounds has proven to be a difficult place to go, and I think the Seagulls have been on a run there with five without defeat against Harps in recent times playing at home. So Harps possibly could be up against it this coming Friday night.
Yeah, but like I think Van Harps and the league have been on a really good run of form, and one defeat in the last six games tells its own story. I think the last time we spoke, Ashin, you know, we were talking about Harps and that the cup run was keeping their season alive. And I think from my own point of view, I didn't give the players at Van Harps or the staff the credit that they deserve, because I didn't envisage them on going on the run that they have done. And you know, basically they're 3 points off the playoffs at the minute. And you know, going back to the start of the season when we were talking about success for Finn Harps this season, like it certainly would have been, you know, fifth place in the league was it would have been beyond the expectations that I suppose us as football followers or supporters would have envisaged. But, you know, I think what's been really good for Finn Harps has been the recruitment that they've had in the summer. And, you know, they're getting the likes of Mpango scoring goals and, you know, a really good signing, really positive signing. And I think at that level, when you have a player like that who will be among the goals, it can make all the difference. And I think we have to give Finn Harps credit and think that going into the last 6-7 games of the season that, you know, they will be pushing hard for that fifth place.
So you'd be in a more confident position then than what you were the last time we were looking at this.
Absolutely.
What are the three
yeah.
points? What is it? 3 points off Treaty with a game in hand. But there are some big yeah. games to come, because they've also got Wexford coming now to Finn Park on Monday. It's a double weekend here, Anthony. And then when you look at the fixtures then after that, there's some big games to come, including Dundalk, who you would think would have the season wrapped up by the time Harps actually come around to playing them.
Yeah, well, I think Dundalk are looking at maybe 9 points to probably 8 points to win the league because of their superior goal difference. But I think certainly Finn Harps, you know, from the minute they started turning their season around, you know, I think they've been really, the one thing about Harps this season, and I think it's a credit to how they've been set up, is that they've always been competitive in the games they've played. Even the games they've lost by the odd goal. You know, they've taken no real tankings. But I think that, you know, going into the last few games of the season now, I think that, you know, they've got, as I said, the players that they signed in the summertime have really, really made a big impact on their season. And, you know, I think they'll be very hopeful. And I think the club now are set up and they'll be prepared to, you know, for the playoffs and to go in and try and make a challenge then for you know, the playoff for the Premier Division.
Yeah. Does Monday's game actually maybe have more significance in the fact that if you can stay 3 points behind Treaty this weekend, because Treaty are playing Athlone Town, and listen, Athlone haven't won too many games this year. They've lost 19 of their 30 matches. So you'd be looking for Athlone possibly to do something tonight. But Harps, what they have to do is at least match that result going to the game in hand on Monday when they play Wexford. So that Wexford game could become hugely significant and play a massive role with, what are we looking at after this weekend? 5 games to play?
Yeah. Well, Wexford, like, they're a team that I would have expected to be pushing on for the playoffs from early on, because you know, they've got the top goal scorer in the league, and you know, Finn Harps have never had an easy game against Wexford. I think the last time they played, did Wexford come out in top 2-1? So there's nothing, there's no gimmies when you're playing Wexford. It's always going to be a difficult game. But you're 100% right in what you're saying. Like, it's the game with Wexford takes on new and added significance, and the fact that there's 3 points in it, and if Harps could go and beat them, like, it would effectively rule them out of it, you would say, and put Finn Harps in the driving seat going into the last 5 games of the season.
Yeah, well, there is of course big games to come for Harps as well. They've still got the likes of Cove, and they have UCD, who are also sitting above them in the table, also to play in the closing series of matches. But they have to get this weekend done and dusted. So, and is 6 points too big an ask for them?
I think going to Bray, certainly, you know, the record that the home record that Bray have against Finn Harps, you know, they'll be going down. The important thing is to stay in the game, and they'll not want to start the game like they had against Cork last weekend, which is really disappointing, you know, conceding 2 goals in the opening 10 minutes. And, you know, so hopefully, and the way that the team has developed, you know, they're learning week on week, and you would think that they would learn from last week. And I suppose the one thing to say about the cup game last weekend, Oisin, is that the mistakes that they made were punished last week. And, you know, in the first division, you know, what happened last week against Cork, they wouldn't even be noticed as mistakes, because the higher quality of opponent will punish any small error at all. And that was, unfortunately for Van Herps, the case last week. And obviously, you know, last week, going back to that, the loss of Conor Tourish was massive going into that game, because he missed his experience and his ability to read the game. And but hopefully, like this weekend, that they get off to a good start, stay in the game as long as possible. And as I said previously, you know, when you have a player like Mpongo in the team, like, he get you a goal out of nothing. So so maybe a point there, and then 3 points on Monday would be a good ask and a good expectation for them.
So it's Bray against Van Herps at 7:45 this coming Friday evening at the Carlisle Grounds. And we will have updates here in Highland. Chris Ashmore is going to make his way down there, and he'll be watching that game for Highland Radio Sport tomorrow night. The other four games on Friday, Treaty United, who are up battling with Herps for that fifth place, are up against Athlone. UCD play Kerry, and Wexford are playing second placed Cove Ramblers. Moving on to the Premier Division and the fixtures this weekend. The league leaders are Shamrock Rovers. They're playing Cork City. Bohemians against Waterford. Bow sitting third in the table. Sligo Rovers, they have a fixture against Drogheda United, as Sligo try and open up more gap, or try and actually get out of that bottom two this weekend, because Galway United also have a game and they're involved in that scrap. They are at St. Patrick's Athletic. But the Northwest interest comes in the form of Derry City, who are playing Shelburne. It's another big game for Derry as they continue to fight it out at the top end of the table, of course, looking to tie down a European spot for next season. But it's another massive fixture for Derry, but it seems to be over the last couple of games that Derry have had the edge in Shells in these matches, Anthony.
Yeah, but you know, Derry have their form again. We keep talking about Derry, and every time we talk about Derry City, it's hard not to talk about Derry without mentioning inconsistency. But to be fair to them, I think this last while they've shown a more consistent form in the league, and obviously they've had the disappointment of losing in the FAI Cup and on penalties, which, you know, would have probably been their best hope of silverware this season. But Shelburne again, like, it's one of them where Shelburne also have an eye on the Conference League and the games and that's coming up in that for them. So that's a big distraction for Shelburne, if you like. And unlike Shamrock Rovers or Derry, I don't think Shelburne have as big a squad that they can, you know, really, you know, use two different sets of players for both competitions. But it is, you're right, they've been the games between Derry and Shelburne have been really interesting over the last couple of years, and I suppose culminating in the league decider last year at the Brandywell, where Shells came out on top with a goal in the last few minutes to clinch the league title. But I just think with the run of form that Derry have been in and the recent consistency that they've shown, that this is a good opportunity for Derry to get 3 points over Shelburne.
Okay then, Anthony, just call it. How's it going to finish at the Brandywell tomorrow night between Derry and Shells?
I'll go for Derry. Maybe a 2-0 for Derry. I think I think Shelburne, the distraction of the Conference League might work in Derry City's favour.
Yeah, and then ask you about the Harps one. What about Harps, your prediction out of the Carlisle ground?
Well, a draw. We'll go for a draw there. I think if Harps can stay in the game and maybe nick something, but you would expect Bray to be scoring a goal down there, because they have a good record. They've scored a lot of goals this season, 53 goals. But you know, so you'd expect Bray to score. But hopefully, if Harps can keep it tight, stay in the game as long as possible, you never know what might happen.
All right, listen, Anthony, we'll leave it there. As always, many thanks for joining us this evening on the Score program. Enjoy the football at the weekend.
Thanks a million, Ashton. Thank you.
That's Anthony Gorman. This is the Score program, and it's time for a commercial break. We'll be back with more football, and in particular the Donegal League, after these.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, the Northwest leader in sports equipment for clubs and schools, at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Welcome back to the Score programme. Well, the Donegal Junior League season is up and running. There has, of course, been action in a number of cup competitions over the last few weekends. But this weekend, it sees the start of the league with three divisions on Saturday and three divisions on Sunday. To discuss Donegal League matters, Chris Ashmore has been talking with Tam McLaughlin, the chairman of the Donegal League, and also Eamon Sheridan, the former Rathmullen Celtic player and manager who is once again taking charge of the Oscar Traynor team. Well, Chris began by putting it to Tam that the league is in a good place at the moment ahead of the leagues getting up and running.
I think we've got 60 teams in it, 59, 60 teams. And we get new teams in and the odd one will drop out, but we seem to be doing all right. And the season's kicking off this Saturday, so we're hoping for get it all started anyway.
Yeah, now when we look at the, we'll start off maybe with the Brian McCormick Premier Division. Last year, Letterkenny Rovers, the winners in the end, I think by 8 points, they will be the team to beat again. But it is a very, very competitive league. And Eamon, I know you've been out watching matches already this season, and the quality certainly in that top tier, there's a lot of good players out there.
Oh, they are. It's a tough, tough division. Like, Letterkenny deservedly won it last year, and they will be the team to beat. They've strengthened, with a few players, and Shane McNamee and Simon McGlynn, like two quality players. I'm not sure who else they have, but, every game, like, it will be tough this year. Like, I just see Donegal Town there last year. They came up last week, sorry, and hammered Kelly Beggs, Cathars there. So, it just shows you, like, you know, they've done well. I see they have a keeper this year as well. Senior Mulroney's back. They're going to be a force, especially in their own patch. And Glen A down there, you get nothing for nothing down there. And unfortunately, Ligon, who come up as well, they're not there to pull out for whatever reasons. And the rest of them, yeah, they're, as you say, I was at that game last week, Chris, with yourself, Kelly Bay, or Keju and, Kilmer Crennan. Keju looked very, very impressive the first half. And it wasn't the Kilmer Crennan I expected, but they came out the second half and showed what they're capable of. And actually went on and won the game. The standard's fairly good there now. It's a lot of good teams. They're all capable of beating each other on the day. But it's the consistency that Letterkenny always brings. That's what the other teams need to aim for. The likes of Bunnegy and them, they have to get that consistency if they want to challenge Letterkenny.
Yeah, and I suppose it's a bit of an old cliche, but in a league where it's vital not to lose too many games, you do need to hit the ground running. You need to get off to a good start, because if you drop points early on, you may never get them back.
Oh, that's it. That's it. And that's for both ends of the table. You know, you have to just get the points on board as early as possible. I know there may be some of the teams maybe hit with the Gaelic season still going on. I'm not overly sure if they are or aren't. I know there's a few teams knocked out over the weekend there. So, but for the top end, it's going to be fairly competitive, and a lot of them wouldn't have any Gaelic players involved. So the likes of Fannett probably would. KG, I don't think of very many. Letterkenny, Bunnegy, you know, they'd be okay. But no, all in all, it's going to be a ding-dong battle again.
Absolutely. Then the second division, it's called the Temple Domestic Appliances Division 1, the second tier in the Sunday leagues. Tam, you know, last year we had a great battle with Glenae United and Donegal Town to get promoted. This league, there's a battle at one end of the table to go up, a battle always to stay up at the other end of the table. Arguably, it's one of the most competitive. It's a tough league as well.
The teams that drop down want to go up as quick as they can, and the teams that come up want to stay up or move up. So it's always going to be, as Eamon says, if you don't get the good start in it, your whole season can define only the first couple of games. If you don't get the start, you might not be up there. You might be fighting the relegation. And the way the league works, two go down, then there's a playoff. So everybody's trying to stay out at the bottom three. And everybody wants in the top three. So there's no much room for error in that division. It's always been a tight one.
Yeah, and you've some big clubs there that, you know, have experience of playing at a higher level before. Your Swilly Rovers, your Castlefin, Celtic, Milford United, Gwydor United. Clubs that maybe they feel that, you know, they should be in the highest division.
Well, you look at Castlefin, they got to the cup final last year with Rovers. And I think Rovers won it in extra time, so it tells you the standard that's in the division. The standard of the division was brilliant. And this year it's going to be any different. As you say, the teams you mentioned there, and there's other teams in it, it's going to be really good. So it could be very, very tight there as well.
Yeah, indeed. And Then the Donegal Physiotherapy Division 2 was a great battle last season. Kerry, Keel and Convoy right pretty much to the end of the campaign. This, again, you know, if you look at some of the names there, Dromahill Celtic, one of the teams there who, of course, not that long ago were playing at a much higher level. And Eamon, sometimes a team in the lowest of the divisions can get a run together. They can get promoted and then go right through the divisions and up. We've seen that over the years on a number of occasions.
That's it. That's what happened Ligon last year. I suppose they went up to the Premier Division. Obviously, they pulled a chance, but they went on a run. The likes of White Strand too, that last year, they think they went 15 games unbeaten. You know, there only is 18 games in the division. You know, they made it a few draws, and that's what let them down. They were almost got promoted as well. So, like, it's all about who gets to be run at the end up. But you have to be there or thereabouts in the first place to get that run. So that's a very competitive division too, as well. And it's there might be a team. Is there 11 teams in the bottom division this year, maybe? I'm sure the structure is going to change or change some way, because there's only 9 in the top division, 10 in the second, and then 11, so they'll probably even all that out.
Yeah. And it came up at the AGM, Tam. We've seen perhaps a shift, and this is to do with society and people's preferences again, that there's a lot of players who maybe would prefer to be playing on a Saturday. And long term, we've 3 divisions on a Saturday now and 3 divisions on a Sunday, but that could change in the future.
I know a lot of the boys in the Saturday, there's a good shoe can play in the Sunday, and they're good enough for the Sunday, but it's commitments with their families that they prefer the Saturday. And no, I help out with Old Town Celtic and that, but there's other teams there, and I know there's boys that's very, very good, but they play in the Saturday because of the commitment with their families. And I know a few Sunday boys have come down this year again, I've been told. The Saturday league was started for the players that couldn't play Sunday. So that's actually coming back in now. If you can't make the Sunday, you're going to go on Saturday now.
And of course, it's important. You want to have as many teams out as possible. You want to be able to give people a game. Some of the clubs, they have the reserve teams. And Tam, you've seen, been around the grounds. It's great to see a lot of clubs have got a second pitch now as well. Because one pitch for a lot of people with the training and everything and midweek stuff, You really ideally need your main pitch and a secondary pitch as well.
Well, there's a lot of teams with the 2 teams, but a lot of these teams have got a great structure. They've got the other youths coming through and they're underage. So basically, they run the big clubs. You'd probably, it's like Rovers, Cajou, teams like that, they all need the 2 because they've all got youth teams that have to come through. And there's that much football at the clubs now. And the football in Donegal has come up big time lately. Everybody wants to, even the women's league, the girls' leagues. I've been following that. I go and see some of that, and that's a big hit as well. It's down to everybody's getting attracted to it now.
And if we look even the last couple of seasons, Eamon, you look at the likes of Erne Wanderers, Ballyshannon. I know they've been in and out of the league over the years. They certainly gave Letterkenny Rovers a decent run in the Old Orchard Saturday Division 2 last year, but teams that wouldn't be traditional soccer strongholds. Fintown Harps had a nice little run in the Cup, of course. Then you have your likes of Copeny Rovers that, you know, keep plugging away, wouldn't have the biggest number of players to choose from. So it's great to see these areas represented.
Oh, definitely. And you could probably add Duncan Ely to that as well. Like, you know, Duncan Ely was a force in their day, and they're still keeping the show on the road, which is amazing. Like, you know, fair play to them, and they've got a couple of tankings, but they keep coming back to the table, which is great to see, and it'll turn for them in time as well. The teams you mentioned, yeah, I often look out for Funtown. I have a friend up there, and I see what they're doing, and it's an underage structure as well. It's great to see. It's great to see football in those areas.
And Tam, you know, at the AGM, there was a number of motions down, plenty of lively discussion, and I think later on in the year you will have another delegate meeting to sort of look at, going forward, a possible restructuring of the league?
There's been a few suggestions. One of the suggestions that came up was for everybody to play Saturday 2 different times, like the National League. But I don't know, it has to, anything that goes through has to come through every club. It has to be voted on. Any restructure at all, it's not just the delegates. You have to have the full meeting and everybody gets their say. So it's more or less up to the 60 clubs.
Yeah,
60 teams. If they want to change, it'll change. If they don't want to change, we keep the same.
Yeah, and no harm to get the views out there. It's good to have the discussions. And from an FAI national point of view, no doubt you're pleased that we are going to stick with the season starting sort of August, September and going through and ending up April, May, rather than that summer-based one?
I'm not 100% sure, but what I've heard is the main FAI Cups will run calendar. They'll start, but they'll run the calendar season. And it could be the same for Eamon with the Oscar Traynor. Now, I'm not 100% sure. I think the Oscar Traynor will start the same, but it's going to run calendar season. So hopefully Eamon will be there at the end anyway, so we'll all be running at calendar season. But for everything else, it didn't suit the Donegal League. It didn't suit the National League. It didn't suit a lot of leagues in Ireland. But for us, we'd have lost a lot of teams. If all the teams had to go calendar season. And people can say Gaelic's not a big king in soccer. It is when you're fae the county Donegal and other wee counties, because you have 60 teams, you have to work with the Gaelic at the same time. I really think that the winter football suits us. Yeah. It suits most of the teams in it.
Well, that's a good cue to bring in Eamon on the whole Oscar Traynor side of things. Eamon, you're manager once again of the Donegal Junior League team for the Oscar Traynor. First of all, we're in a playoff again scenario here in Donegal. It'll be the Donegal League against the Inishowen League, and the winners get through to the next stage.
Yeah, from what I hear, is Kevin Monaghan are not taking part this year either, which is disappointing. But it is what it is. Like I say, the Russ are any shown, and as always, there's nothing on it. Like, you know, we got the wee break last year, we beat them in penalties. Like, they have a lot of quality players as well. Like, so that's on the day, really, you know, over the two legs. But no, we're not sure when exactly it starts, but I don't think it'll make if it's a calendar year or not, it won't make a big difference to us, because last year we had to play two games before the end of January, and we played one before Christmas and one in January. So I think it'll work out all right. So whatever way they want to do it, I've seen on the show actually they've advertised for a new manager this year. Jeremy O'Brien was there for 15 years, I think he told me. So whoever's coming in, hopefully we can reach out and see. Ideally for me, I would like to play it before Christmas.
What's the situation with regard to you bringing players together and selections? You'll have a couple of sessions and then maybe narrow down a squad.
Aye, well, like we've done that last year, but like we know the majority of the players out there now. Like, you know, we were probably coming in a wee bit blind last year, and that's why we had these games, and give everybody an equal chance. And but we know the majority of the players if we want, and plus there's a couple of new players coming to the league that we're probably keen to get a hold of as well. For instance, there, I watched that KJU Kilmacrenny game the last day. A few of the KJU guys stood out, especially the first half. And then I was looking up results to see Donegal Town with Ronan McHugh scoring a hat-trick there. So you just keep an eye on things they get and see where it brings them. Ronan couldn't join us last year because his work commitments down the country. So we'll see where people's circumstances are and what way it goes. And then we'll see at the time of year as to when we're going to get together. Like, if it's not going to happen in January, there's no mad panic. Normally we play a few friendlies against Irish League teams and go from there.
And what about your backroom team? Have you finalised yet who's going to be assisting you on the Oscar Traynor Cup side of things?
We haven't just finalised everything yet, but I'm meeting a few of them now within the next week. I'll just go over stuff and see how they feel about everything and see where it takes us.
Finally, Eamon, I mean, your overall thoughts on junior soccer in the county at the moment? Yes, it's a pity we don't have the intermediate soccer there anymore, but at a junior level, not just the Donegal League, but also the Inishowen League. Donegal very much on the national map.
Yeah, it's probably time now where Inishowen or Donegal League have a team in the FAI Junior Cup. Like, Coghill was in it a few years ago. They won it, actually. But it's time for the likes of, I could see Letterkenny, Bonagee, Coghill, maybe Buncrana, and Aile as well. I think they're pushing hard as well. I'm sure there's other Donegal League teams, but it's time for hopefully one of them can get through and put us back on the map again, because there's plenty of good soccer players in Donegal. And it's time to win that trophy again, hopefully.
Yeah, well, hopefully so. And we wish you the best of luck in the Oscar Traynor Cup campaign. Tam, just rounding things off, at Donegal League chairperson, you'll have lots of administrative duties, and no doubt you'll be at the end of the season about to hand out a few trophies, and your own club, Old Town Celtic, will be fancied by many to collect a bit more silverware. Just one of the things that's come in the last few seasons, the FAI, the app that the teams use, that certainly worked out very well, and it's helping people get the fact you can see the lineups and get the details. So technology coming into the game, and it's a big plus.
It's a big plus for everything, Chris. Even with your suspensions, your red cards, everything comes up in it. And when you hit your if you get a red card, the boy can't play the next week because automatically you're not allowed to play him in the system. So to me, it's a fair system. It's a good system. It's working for everybody. I've not heard many complaints about the only you'll get the odd complaint that some boy wasn't registered, but sometimes there's a glitch in the system that will take a boy off. But apart from that, I think the system's been great. It's worked for us. It's worked for most teams I know. When everybody's getting to know it now, they're starting to find it a lot easier.
And also, just to mention before we leave it, Ballyar, the headquarters for the Donegal League, there's been a lot of investment down there through the years, the floodlights, the stand, and more plans going forward.
Well, just after getting the fence all done around the Astro, we're picking away at wee things, you know, but there'll be plans there. And as I say, the only thing is try to go on forward, but depending a lot of grants and things like that. And if we get them, we'll push on with everything. And you know, I think phase two, we're getting the gates put back on, so that'll be a big plus for everybody as well.
That was Tam McLaughlin, chairman of the Donegal League, and Rathmullen's Eamon Sheridan, the Oscar trainer manager for Donegal, speaking with Chris Ashmore. So the new season begins this weekend with action in all six divisions, three on Saturday and indeed three on Sunday. And there is also a full programme of matches taking place as well in the Inishowen Football League 2. Let's go to boxing. The Hills of Donegal will see its latest professional boxing bonanza in October when some of Ireland's brightest young stars are set to shine. Rumble in the Hills Rising Stars will be promoted by Jason Quigley and Shear Sports Management, and it takes place at the Arra Leisure Complex on the 18th of October and is set to feature a stellar cast as well. Well, earlier today I spoke to Jason about the upcoming event.
It's exciting for me, definitely, and I'm excited most of all for the fighters that are on the card, and you know, hopefully all the young fighters in the county and country that come to watch it as well, because you know, professional boxing's always been known to be Belfast, Dublin, and then even further afield then, you know, turning professional was always going to America or going to the UK, and it was always a thing that you had to travel far and wide to get your hands on it, really. Whereas this is a passion now that I have to really grow it up this side of the country and to hopefully let some young eyes see what's available and what's possible for them in the sport of boxing. But, you know, the last one that I did do, I had a partner that I was doing that with that time, whereas this time it's fully on my own back now. I'm the only promoter that'll be a part of this show now, and I think it gives that extra wee bit of excitement, but also that extra wee bit of nerves as well.
I was going to say, no pressure.
Yeah, no pressure at all now, lad. But I'm really excited. We have an unbelievable card. You know, it's something that I want to grow in Donegal and in Ireland, to be honest, because, as it says, you know, there's a lot of fighters out there that, after amateur boxing, you know, they're looking at where do we go, you know, is there another outlet there? It's just not that accessible, and that's what I want to do. And, you know, we're starting off this card, and it's a card full of undefeated top class prospects in the country, you know, and it's filled with some really exciting fighters that some of them are making their pro debut, some of them are 7-0, 8-0. And it's going to be a real action-packed night of boxing for sure, you know, with a few lads as well that's going to be starting to show off, some young local lads that are wanting and teasing a turning professional. They're going to do maybe two or three exhibitions, so we are at the start of it, to give these lads a wee taste of it, give them that walkout, that entrance, you know, get into that ring and feel what it's like to be a professional for a night. And I think that's a great opportunity as well before they actually make that decision and go full force into it. You know, it'll be a good one for them, definitely.
Okay, let's pick out a couple of fighters then that's on this bill. And I suppose top of the bill is going to be the Oma man, the super featherweight, Callum Bradley, currently 7-0. And if he gets to 8-0, there's the possibility, of course, of things starting to go further and open up for him. But cool Callum Bradley will be the main man on the night, top of the bill, Jason.
Yeah, look, Callum's he was a great amateur fighter, and has a beautiful technique. And a beautiful style of boxing, so he has, and he can be aggressive as well in there when he wants. So, you know, having a young local enough lad being the main event's exciting. And he's a, as I said, look, he's a top class operator. He's 7-0 now as a professional, looking to go 8-0 on October 18th. And this is only going to set up big fights for him now in the future, title fights, and who knows, he could be bringing back a title fight to Letterkenny and to a Rumble in the Hills event in the future again. As this is, it's something that we want to bring into the new year as well, more shows back into the Aura and into the Donegal area, and, you know, getting it off and running now with these young, exciting fighters. It gives them the opportunity then to be able to experience it and to be able to come back in bigger fights and in title fights.
Ballyhonus man, Owen Lavin is another hot prospect, so he is, Jason. He's on the bill.
Yes, Owen Lavin, a great young fighter as well. He's going to be on the card on a six-rounder middleweight contest. He is signed with Frank Warren and managed by Anthony Joshua's management team. So he has a good backing behind him. And his corner is going to be Anthony Corolla, world champion from Manchester. So he's bringing a good excitement and a good flavour to it as well. And also, you know, Owen and Callum, I'm obviously going to be the promoter on the night, but they're both managed by David McGinley, a local man as well, that has stepped into the boxing management in Donegal. So it's great to have the two lads on the card and to have David involved as well.
Lots of Donegal connections, obviously. It's a Donegal show. But maybe the closest man is Danny Duffy, who's looking to go 3-0 now. Fights out of Rafo is from Strabane, but this is going to be a big night for him because this is basically his home debut, so it is.
Yeah, this is one that I'm really excited about. You know, Danny is a real shy, quiet kind of guy, so he is, and just goes about his business. But when Danny gets into the ring, I remember his pro debut down in Waterford, got into the ring and just started to evolve into another person that I didn't know was in Danny. He just grew in such confidence in there. Another side of him came out. He was flamboyant. He was, I didn't want to say showboating, but he was having fun in there, and was a really exciting fight. And as an exciting, I mean, Danny dominated the fight and looked really, really well in there. And in his second fight then as well, boxing Belfast in his second fight, and the exact same, you know, started real quiet getting into the ring. But once he gets in there, it's like he comes alive and becomes into a different kind of character. And Danny Dangerous Duffy, Triple D, so I'm really excited for him, and I've been in the gym working very closely with him as well, and he is he's looking in phenomenal shape, and really excited for him now. It's going to be a big one for him. He's going to bring a big crowd into the night as well, and yeah, excited for Danny.
Yeah, huge night for Danny, and it's also a big night for young Rhys Owens, who is from Enniskillen in County Fermanagh. Now, he fights out of Erin, BC, and I know before we did this piece, Jason, we were talking about him. This boy has a serious, serious future, so he does, in the boxing environment.
Absolutely. You know, Rhys is one of those standout stars, and I was up at the National Elite Championships this year, and Rhys was the pick of the champions that I watched over the 2 or 3 days of the National Championships. And whenever he was interested then in turning pro, I was rubbing my hands together, really. Like, this kid is, I think this kid can go all the way in the sport, and I think it's going to be something for people to come and watch him, because you're going to see this lad on the big nights in Manchester, London, UK, on DAZN. And because he's so local, and because we're getting the ball rolling now with these promotions locally, Rhys is somebody that I'm very confident that's going to bring a big night back to Letterkenny and to Donegal for big titles in the future. So, you know, I would definitely encourage people to get out and get their tickets to come and watch this lad, because he's going to be top class. It's myself and Jamie Conlon is co-managing him. So it's exciting time for Rhys. He's going to be making his pro debut, and it is going to be a clinker for him. He's going to bring a massive crowd down from Enniskillen and up his way. So it's going to be noisy in there, and I'm buzzing for him as well.
Yep. I take it you're still keeping yourself in good shape, are you, Jason?
I have to keep myself on ground, yeah. Like, in case one of these boys pull out or something, or take me on someday.
Well, that was my next question. Was you talked about these boys having the itch and having to go do it in the ring. You're now overseeing what's going on for this show, but do you still have that itch to get under the ring?
To be honest, not really at the moment. I don't think, like, especially whenever... Actually, like, I can answer that confidently and be like, no. You know, whenever you're getting these lads ready and you're that busy, to be honest, to even think about training for a fight or to be able to think about getting ready for a fight now with all the organizing and everything that I'm doing for the show, it's it'd be a bit of a headache if I had to get back in the gym and start training for this fight for a fight. But no, look, I'm excited for the lads to get in there and for myself. Like, I have that much going on for the fight and for the show now coming up that I don't really think about myself in the ring or anything like that or get an itch for it. But don't get me wrong, like, and I think it'll never leave you whenever you have done boxing for so long and competed at a certain level for so long that whenever you see the big nights on the TV and, you know, you're at the big night yourself and that, like, you'll always miss that. I think you'll always miss that bit of adrenaline, that bit of a nervousness, that bit of a, I don't know, that real competitiveness, that mindset that you have to get into. Like, you'll always miss that. Like, it's very unique feeling that you get from boxing and competing and fighting and getting into that ring and everybody roaring and shouting and whether it's good, whether it's bad, you know, it's yeah, of course it's an unbelievable experience, like, and it's just something that I suppose that I don't feel enough now at the minute to get back, and I'm happy doing the management, stepping in now to the promoting 100% as well. So yeah, no, I'm excited and I'm a handful for the meantime anyway.
Okay then. Well, listen, there's a big show coming up. You've got a lot to focus on, so you have ahead of next month. Rumble in the Hills, Rising Stars, promoted by Jason Quigley and Shear Sports Management. There's lots in the bill. There's lots of local guys there. And if anybody's interested in going along, Jason, what is the process?
Yeah, look, you can get your tickets in the Aura. There's physical tickets in the Aura Leisure Centre over there where the event will actually be. And also reaching out to the fighters themselves. They have allocated tickets themselves that for friends, family, fans. You can reach out to the fighters themselves on social media or even reach out to myself and we can get the tickets all sorted. So it's going to be an action-packed night now. It's going to be a good one. And I'm really excited for it. And I hope the people can get out there and really get behind it and support it, because it's a vision that I have that I want to grow and to give these young kids something to be excited about in professional boxing. And also, just before we finish up, lad, I want to say a massive thanks to the sponsors that have come on board for this show as well. You know, it couldn't be done without them. We have a few sponsors on board there, Anne-Marie McGeehan and Bal Buffet here, Right Financials. We have O'Reilly's as well. We have R Kings and Ian Coughlin at Total Splicing Solutions as well on board, and a massive lift to the event as well, and to Donegal, as having the Donegal County Council on board. You know, it really gives the show that accreditation as well and backing from the actual county, you know, and we hope to put on a great show for the county and publicise the county in a great way. And as it says, look, it's great to have the Donegal County Council on board as well.
Okay, Jason, thanks for taking the call, and the best of luck with your continued preparations ahead of this big event next month.
Lovely stuff, appreciate it.
It's good to catch up with Jason earlier today. Just finally, here on The Score tonight, a reminder of our dedicated GA programme, which is available to listen back to. Brendan Devaney has been reviewing and previewing all the weekend's championship action in Donegal. The DL debate is available now in the playback section of highlandradio.com. There is, of course, quarterfinals and semifinals at senior and intermediate taking place this weekend. The two feature games in senior on Highland, by the way, will have live commentary from Kilcare against Gwydor on Saturday evening and Neve Connell against Termon on Sunday. We'll also have coverage from McCool's against St Michael's on Saturday and the opening game on Sunday for Masters against Dunloe in Ballyshannon on Sunday afternoon as well. So lots of GA action to look forward to. And that brings an end to The Score programme for tonight. If you missed any of the show, you will of course be able to recap shortly on our website, highlandradio.com. So what's left of your wet Thursday. Try and enjoy it. Have a good one. We'll be back with more sport tomorrow morning.